Just a comment before we start. Getting a new preacher is a little bit like getting a new car. You've got to set all the presets and figure out how this thing works, and it takes a little while. A few of you couldn't understand me last week, and I have to admit I have a problem. I get all wound up in preaching, and I go faster and faster, and then I drop my sentences at the end, and if you've got any hearing issues, you'll struggle. So I apologize. So I'll tell you what we need to do. You need to let me know if you're having trouble hearing, and phone me up, invite me over for coffee. We'll get to know each other, you'll get to recognize each other's voice, and I'm sure it's going to work better. So if you can be a little patient, we're going to work on this one together, okay? All right. Would you bow with me as we pray? Thank you so much, God, for the family that you have placed us within, for the church. Thank you for the way that you continue to teach us, that you surround us with people who care, that we have a place to struggle through issues and a place to celebrate. Be with us now as we look at your word. Open our eyes. Help us to see the way of Jesus in these matters. Amen. As Christians, as Mennonite Anabaptist Christians, we define ourselves as being people of the word. We understand that the Bible was written so that we can understand it, and it was written so that we obey it. In fact, we believe that if we come to the Bible with a heart of obedience, we come to the Bible and say, what does this mean? I want to follow, that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what it says. It's called a hermeneutic of obedience, if you need a title for things. In the past, Mennonites have not written a lot of theology books. They've always said, we live our theology, we don't need to write it down. It's a way of life. And when we hit those areas which are difficult to understand, we get together and we work at it together and we say, what is God trying to teach us as a people and trying to teach us as individuals? Tomorrow is Remembrance Day. Together with those who are getting together tomorrow, we grieve with those who have lost people in the war, friends or family. It must be terrible. And it doesn't matter how we lose people, whether it's through disease or through war or through death of whatever sort, it rips them out of the fabric of our lives. And we grieve. And we grieve with those who have lost people in the war. With those who have gathered, we also recognize that those who have gone to war have done so living out what they believe. They've been willing to put their life on the line for what they believe. May we all do that. We also recognize, as was mentioned during sharing time, that the military has done many good things. Many of you or your relatives were saved by the German army. But as a Christian Anabaptist Mennonite people, we see things a little different than others. Doesn't mean we put them down. It just means, first time I was here, I dumped that. I won't do it again. It just means that we need to be faithful to Scripture. The Bible says you're not supposed to kill. And Jesus takes that a little farther. He says, you know, your enemies, you need to love them. What Jesus actually means when he says love your enemies is that we're supposed to love our enemies. And so as people of peace, people who want to be faithful to the Bible, that's where we stand. But it's not so easy, as James shared earlier. To be a people of peace isn't defined by what we don't do. We don't go to war, we don't punch our neighbor, so we're people of peace. It's not even defined simply by what we do do. As people of peace, we go out and we help the people who are needy. People are hungry, we help them with food. There's a terrible storm in the Philippines, and we'll make sure that we get involved with that somehow. somebody's gone through abuse and we're going to help them. We get involved with a lot of things, but even that doesn't define who we are as a people of peace. Who we are is defined, being a people of peace, rather, is defined by who we are. That's what the passage tells us in 2 Corinthians. Starts in verse 17. And Paul defines, he says, first of all, who are you? Let me tell you who you are. We have become a new creation. That means we're different than we used to be. It's like backing up to Genesis chapter 3 and saying, whoa to Eve, not the apple, okay? What was life like then? It's a little bit what this is about. Verse 18 says, we have been reconciled with God. There was a wall between us, and we've been reconnected with God. We talked about this last week. Do you remember? We said that when Jesus came, he reconnected us with God. And he did that. We can kind of break it down and say, well, in his life, he taught us by the way he lived and the things he said, what it means to be a reconciled person. That's what it is. And so we read the story. Ah, that's who we want to be. Through his death, he freed us from, and last week I used the words, our addiction to sin. Romans chapter 7, just a delightful passage because it really hits the mark. Paul says in Romans 7, he says, I know the good things I want to do and the bad things I don't want to do. Why do I keep on doing the bad things? I want to do the good things and I keep not doing them. That's what we're talking about. And if you don't know what that's like, get a mirror. That's what we're all about, okay? The third thing that we said last time is that through Jesus' resurrection, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live as people who have been reconnected with Jesus, with God through Jesus Christ, who've been reconciled to God. Now, that doesn't mean you become a Christian and everything's good. We all know that. We struggle. But now it's possible. Now, with the freedom from sins, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the direction of God's Word, the encouragement of God's people, we keep on working at this. And when we make mistakes, we come back, we ask forgiveness, and on we go. And there's something called maturity. We keep growing so that more and more our lives reflect who God is. So that's the starting point, Paul says. If you want to be people of peace, you need to be reconciled. You need to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. He goes on. He says, where do we belong? We're ambassadors, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Well, ambassadors don't belong where they are. They're representing another place. So if you go down to the Chinese embassy here in Canada, not necessarily in Winnipeg, if you go to the Chinese embassy, where do those people belong? In China. They're here representing China, and so it is with us. We are ambassadors. We belong somewhere else. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he has this discussion. He says, to be present in the flesh is to be absent from the Lord. This is really tearing me apart because something inside of me longs to be with God. Now, we want to get this straight. Life is a gift. Life is a gift which we need to embrace and love deeply. God has given us the beauty of nature to enjoy. There's gifted people around. We choose your genre of music. You go and hear it in the sort of, you get this tingle up your spine, whether it's a symphony or the Oak Ridge Boys. And you recognize God has placed something wonderful here. We went this summer to see 100 Masters at the Winnipeg Art Gallery. I hope some of you went to see it. Just wonderful to see the gifts that God has given people. And it goes on and on. Wonderful relationships. Life is a gift. But Hebrews 11, we're just passing through. We're just sojourners. We're aliens. And we belong somewhere else. And so when it comes to the point of death for us, we will come there. At the end we say, and now I'm going home. That's part of what it means to be a new creation. We have a new passport, and it says heaven. And we say, all right, one day. That's where we belong. The third thing he tells us in this passage is what we do. He said that God has reached out to reconcile us, and now he's taken his job and he's given it to us. He's passed on the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of reconciliation, to reconcile people to God. So how do we do that? Well, we can go knock on a neighbor's door and they open it and say, you're all going to hell. Not so effective. So how do we do this? How did Jesus do this? Jesus said, went out there and he loved people. He didn't always use words. It was something new for them. They were treated with respect and with dignity and with caring and compassion. And he was extending something that they had not experienced before. And so we do that too. Each of us in our own way. Some people do that by working at the thrift shop and caring for things. Some of you have done that as you make these prayer shawls and quilts, which Carol and I received last week. And thank you again. So touching. As they're made, they're knit and woven and sewn together with your prayers. Some of us do this with kindness. We'll come back to that in a minute. But we do that in keeping with the character of Christ. We are the ones. We are not the ones who reconcile. That's God. But we are the people who invite people to experience that reconciliation. So what does this look like? Let me tell you several stories of what it doesn't look like. Stories from my life. You're going to find out, you might as well hear now. I was about 20 years old. I freshly minted Bible school student, and I was living at my parents', and one day, it was a very hot day, I recall, and a fella came up the drive. He was a little older than I. He was on crutches and had a full leg cast. And he came up, and I realized shortly in, from the Awake magazine, that he was a Jehovah's Witness. And I thought, okay, time to practice what I've learned. Buddy, you don't know what you got coming to you. And so we stood there for an hour, or half an hour probably, and boy, I just took them apart. I was so proud of myself. Those teachers had taught me, and I had learned well, and for everything he said, and I had a response. And when he turned to leave, he said to me, if you know so much, how come you're not out there telling people? And it dawned on me that in his own way, he was trying to reconcile me to God. And what was I doing? I just wanted to beat him. The day got worse. I went into the house, and my aunt was there. Now, my aunt never went to church, and she was a person who would say she believed in God and then wanted to leave the conversation there. And she said, it was a hot day. The guy had a cast on. The garage was right there with the lawn chairs. Why didn't you ask him to sit down? Can't remember what I said, but I sure remember her response. I thought you Christians were supposed to be kind. Well, I'll tell you something. From winning an argument to where I was, it was a long way downhill. Not only had I not reached out to reconcile him to God, my actions had served to push my aunt away too. I had said the right things. My theology was pretty solid, probably. I had missed the point. To reconcile people to God means that I treat them like Jesus does. Another quick story. About 20 years ago, now I not only have Bible school by this time, but Bible college and seminary. I mean, I've got Greek and Hebrew backing me up. Watch out, world. And I was preaching, it was a Peace Sunday like today. And I thought I'd done pretty good. You know, you explain the words and go through the passage. And at the end, I'm shaking hands with people, and a fellow just a little older than me smiles and shakes my hand and says, "Why do you hate soldiers?" What have I done? Again, I do this. And I realize that I need to be careful. It's not just the words. It's not just the theology. It's not just what we don't do and do. It's our heart. And I've done a lot of thinking about that since then. And I've realized that unless I love people, I am not being an ambassador of reconciliation. I don't know if any of you read the Free Press yesterday. There was this lengthy section about Mennonites and war. And I read through that, and it was a piece of information, right? But parts of that just really tore my heart out. Did you read the part about the mother who they contacted her and said that they thought her son had been killed? He hadn't been. But she sat at home rocking on her rocking chair, and in 1 month her hair turned white, and nobody came to visit. And people came home from war, and they were shunned. And I'm thinking, that's our history for many of us. We have done this. God, forgive us for not being people of reconciliation. So what does this look like? It is so much fun to do the big stuff, the theology, and looking at the big projects, and being people of peace, getting things going. But today, I want to invite you. I'm really inviting myself, and you can come along if you'd like. I'm inviting you to consider what it means to be ambassadors of reconciliation in the little things. You know what I mean? I mean when you're driving to work or driving down the road and somebody is trying to butt in front of you, instead of squeezing them out, maybe just back up. Wave, smile, and let them in. Or the cashier. You're at the store and somebody's just screamed at the cashier and now it's your turn. Just to take a moment to be kind. And you know the neighbor that keeps shoveling snow onto your side of the drive? Maybe when you see him shoveling, to go out and say, "You know what? I'll tell you what. Next time it snows, I'll look after it. I'll just fire up the snowblower and we'll take care of it. You don't have to worry. Let me do that for you." I'm not suggesting that it's okay to be abused. Please be clear about that. When a person's in a situation which is abusive, that is not okay. And we need to address that, and we need to step up and say, as a child of God, I don't deserve to be treated this way. That's another day's discussion. For today, it's quite simple. Can we be ambassadors of peace in the little things? To our spouse, to our neighbor, to the people that we encounter, so that once they have met us, they can say, "I have met Christ." That when they have encountered us in the little things, they feel that the ambassador of the Almighty has truly been there doing their job. May God give you wisdom and joy as you do that. And together, we're going to work at being a faithful people of peace. Amen.